Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Listen for God's word. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Our second scripture lesson comes from Mark chapter 4. Listen again for God's word. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The word of God for the people of God. Someone asked me once if I actually listened to Tammy's sermons. I guess they thought that if I'm not preaching, I'm sitting over there daydreaming instead of paying attention. Now, I know that such a thing can happen, even though I'm sure that it never happens here while the sermon is going on. Comedian Jim Gaffigan says that he will be sitting in church during the sermon with an introspective look on his face, but inside he is wondering, "Did I go to Wendy's twice yesterday?" Maybe we wonder, "Did I lock the car? How am I going to get three kids to three different places at the same time?" I know our minds wander. I know we daydream. But truthfully, I do listen to the sermons. I'm listening for something that speaks to me in the sermon, in the music, in the prayers of the service. What is God trying to tell me in this intentional time of worship? Last week, Tammy's sermon had my attention. Listening to the story of those two men verbally assaulting each other in BJ's parking lot brought the whole scene back to mind and the feelings with it. Naming the death of two popular figures in the food and fashion industries who took their own lives and the many more who feel that that is their only choice made me sad and concerned. In those two stories and so much more of the sermon, I kept hearing the same question coming to mind over and over again. In light of everything that is going on in the world around us, in light of all the stresses and pressures of daily life, in light of God's good news in Jesus Christ, who are we becoming? Who are we becoming? It's the sort of question that we can ask on a societal level. And depending on our view of things, we might see progress or problems on the horizon. It's the sort of big question that we can take the long view with, believing that there is no hope or that the long arc of history bends towards justice. But it is also the sort of question that begs us to examine who we are now. What really motivates us? And how is that shaping our view of life and faith and the way we live? Who are we becoming? I probably heard that question last week for a few reasons. There are all kinds of storms going on in the world around us. I can't help but wonder what kind of society we are becoming when I hear stories of immigrant parents being separated from their children. I can't help but wonder what kind of society we're becoming when people can justify their words and actions and their bullying of somebody on social media, whether they know the whole story or not. I can't help but wonder what kind of people we are becoming when it is so easy to fall into the lower brain functions and live as distrustful, fearful people of others. I can't help but wondering what this and so much more means for our purpose as a church and the work that we do. What makes us different? What keeps us from becoming fear-mongering, fear-motivated people? How does our faith change us and the way we view the world? Who are we becoming? The other big thing that made me wonder about who we're becoming is our first scripture reading today. If you recognize it, you were either here last week or watched our Facebook Live video of the sermon. It's one of the two passages Tammy focused on last week. Paul's language caught my attention. We do not proclaim ourselves, he writes. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. How does one live life for Christ instead of being self-centered and self-absorbed? What is it like to have the light of Christ shine in our hearts? Most of all, Paul writes, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, he says, perplexed, but not driven to despair, always carrying in the body of Christ, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may always be made visible in our bodies. Now, I hope you weren't just daydreaming right now. Paul says that he's been afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. Enough for life to feel like one big storm. And yet he isn't driven to despair. He isn't forsaken. He isn't destroyed. Instead, the life of Jesus is visible in his body and those of his companions. How do we become that faithful, that resilient, that committed? How do we weather the storms of life so that this is who we become? And this is the sort of church that we are. And this is the sort of people we invite others to be. It's like Paul knows that the other side of fear really is faith. And he lives that way. Who are we becoming? Our second scripture reading invites us to reflect on that. Prior to this scene, Jesus has called the disciples, healed crowds of people, and used parables to teach about the kingdom of God. We might think that all of that would be enough for the disciples to truly trust Jesus with their lives. They have experienced his powerful invitation to follow him. He chose them to be his companions. He believed in them and what they could do. He took them into crowds of broken people and showed them what healing and wholeness, peace and justice looks like. He taught them the ways of God and God's kingdom and offered them wisdom and understanding that most people don't even take the time to notice. But learning to have faith doesn't happen on the sidelines of all of that. Faith in God is awakened only as we own it, and we live it, and we let it shape who we are. In our story today, Jesus sensed that in spite of the personal invitations and the powerful acts of healing and miracles, the disciples weren't quite there yet. So Jesus said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." We know he meant to go across the Sea of Galilee, but did he mean something more? Crossing over the Sea of Galilee was no pleasure cruise. Everyone knew about the storms of the sea and how quickly and unexpectedly they arose. Some of them were as legendary as the storms we now know as Sandy, Katrina, Harvey, Rita, Maria, and Ike. But Jesus led them into a boat, and they cast off from shore anyway. Sometime along the journey, most likely when it was almost completely dark, when they were far from shore, a great windstorm arose on the sea. The waves beat against that fragile boat. It was taking on water and being swamped by the waves. The storm was overwhelming them and threatening them. Was it any wonder that the disciples were afraid? Jesus, on the other hand, wasn't. He was in the back of the boat, asleep on a cushion. He didn't even seem to notice the storm, the rocking boat, the waves crashing down on the craft, or the gale force winds. There he slept, curled up on a boat cushion at the back of the boat, peaceful as a baby. There he slept, at least until the fearful disciples woke him up. "Teacher," they cried, "do you not care that we are perishing?" We know that question, don't we? "Jesus, don't you care?" They're the words we often address to God. "God, don't you care that I'm afraid right now? Don't you care that innocent children are being ripped from their parents' arms and may never see them again? Don't you care that people all around us are dying of despair and drug overdoses? Don't you care that we're being tossed about in the storms of sea and the seas of change and turmoil and uncertainty? The wind and the waves of life are assailing us. Our lives, our church, our cities, our nations are fragile. We're afraid of disapproval and rejection, failure and meaninglessness, illness and, yes, even death. Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" they asked. Aren't those the words that we're really saying when we offer our concerns during the joys and concerns? How great is it that we can speak so honestly? And yet how often does it also tell us how much our lives are driven by fear rather than trust, more by concern than by joy? Jesus woke up that night and rebuked the wind, just like he had rebuked the demons and evil spirits he had encountered in his ministry. "Peace, be still," he said. Although those words don't quite capture it. It sounded more like, "Be quiet, shut up, be still." With those words, the wind ceased blowing, the waves stopped crashing, and a calm settled around the boat. Then Jesus asked his disciples, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" Another translation says, "Are you still without faith?" To get how direct Jesus is being, Jesus' question really is, "Why are you afraid? Do you not trust God yet, whose rule is present in me? What has the upper hand in your hearts, fear or faith?" In his commentary on this passage, Pastor Michael Linvall writes, "Fear is confronted in this story, but not by a sudden burst of courage or resolve on the part of the disciples. In the course of the storm, they never pull themselves together. They do not, at least on their own, discover inner resources they did not know they had. Rather, it is Jesus who calms the storm in them and on the sea, with the power of his presence." The hard truth of this story is that it makes no promises that storms won't happen to us, or to our church, to our community, or to our world. It never says that there is nothing to be afraid of, because we know there is plenty to be afraid of in this big wide world of ours. The bigger challenge in this story is this: who are we becoming in the midst of the storms of life? People of fear or people of faith? How are we discovering that the other side of fear really is faith and learning to trust in the God of the wind and the waves? The story doesn't promise that people who believe in God won't face storms. It invites us to be led by faith more than fear through them, to trust that God with us is more powerful than what assails us, to trust that God has been with us in the past and has not yet abandoned us, to trust that what we are afraid of is not stronger than who God is. If we learn to do that, what does that mean for the depth of our lives with God and for our ministry? Who will we become? I have an answer to that already. I've seen it. We won't shy away from storms. We will become people who step into the storm of hunger, poverty, and homelessness in our local community, in New York City, in Chicago, in the Dominican Republic, and not only hand them food, but build relationships with them in their storms. We will become people who pray for an end to gun violence as we enter the storms of its effects, as well as advocate for a safer, better society for all. We will acknowledge how the earth suffers and groans under our poor use of it, and look for ways to bring healing and harness the sun and all of nature with care. We will become a people who love our neighbor as ourselves, welcome the stranger, and work to build God's kingdom here on earth. But in all of that and more, we will weather the storm, not simply or only by our own strength, but through our trust in the God of wind and waves, who does care and sends us out to stand with others in their storms and care for them. Who are we becoming? People who live in fear or people who live in faith? The end of the story ends with a question that the disciples, really all disciples, need to answer. Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? It is Jesus' presence that brought the calm to the storm on the Sea of Galilee and to those disciples. It is Jesus' presence with us that is awakening faith in us as well. He is in the boat with us, leading our lives, shaping this church and its ministry, and preparing us to stand with others in their storms. As all of that becomes more and more true in us, we will answer who he is by who we become: people of faith, people who trust, people who stand with others and offer them new life. Amen.